Okay, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Winds of Change at CFUV Radio 101.9 FM, 104.3 on cable, and we are heard all around the world on the internet at cfuv.uvic.ca. Love it when we have technological challenges as we're about to go live. It's always an entertaining time here. I'll tell you what I have planned. Oh, hang on. If you could just hang on. Well, thank goodness for technology. I can't say I'm pleased that Mark Zuckerberg has sold out to Goldman Sachs, but thank goodness for Facebook because we've got Shelley on the line. So my first guest is Shelley Bluejay Pierce, and she is a lovely Indigenous friend of mine, online friend. One day perhaps we'll meet in person. She is going to be speaking to us in the first half about her new public relations firm, Thunderbird PR. So we'll get to that in immediately. In the second half, I'm going to be speaking with Richard Boyce, Vancouverites may know Richard. He's been a defender of wilderness here on our island and in British Columbia generally, I think for, as long as I've been here, 20-some-odd years, and perhaps longer than that. He's got a new film out about the rainforests here on the island, rainforestmovie.ca, if you want to check the trailer out. And we'll be speaking with Richard in the second half. And we're going to have a quick update from Charles Wilkinson as well. He's the director of a film called Peace Out, which is showing tonight at the Cine Centre, and really it's worth battling the snow to get here to see that. And just speaking of snow, the people who are really enjoying this, it's funny that, you know, we escaped the prairies to escape it. I mean, we left. That's one reason many of us left the prairies, because we didn't really like 6 months of winter, but boy, we sure have fun when it's here. A couple of tips from the prairie people is, you know what we do? We have these things called shovels, and we get out there, and as soon as it starts snowing, and then we get that snow cleared off, and then, you know, you can actually walk around. It's not too bad. I walked to catch the bus this morning by a number of corporate outlets and private enterprise and public, or what are those people called who manage property management, you know, strip mall areas? No clearing, no parking lots cleared, no sidewalks cleared. And that's just really dangerous. And this is an opportunity to hire people. So kids, if you got shovels, young folks, strong, no shoulder injuries, and perhaps you can get out there and make a few bucks. And I had something else I want to say, but golly, I can't think of it. Oh, yes, Rose Henry and Reverend Al are out, and probably others, but these are two I know about, and they are actually bringing people, the homeless, into coffee shops, buying them coffee or tea or whatever, and letting, so they have a warm place to be for a little while. So if you happen to see Rose or Al out there, perhaps you can help support them, just offer a little donation for this enterprise. They're also, of course, collecting clothing and this sort of thing, but in between the shelter openings, it's darned cold, and if we can just keep people warm inside for a little while they're waiting for the shelters, that's kind of the least we can do. Okay, let's talk to Shelley. You're used to snow over there in Montana, I'll bet.
As a matter of fact, I think we've got prayers answered from all over the country by my supporters and dear friends, because we've got a blizzard warning coming in, and I was a little worried that maybe I'd have to be doing this by candlelight with no electricity. As long as the ancient phone lines up here to the mountain would hold up, I thought, okay, we're good. Now, the prayers must have really worked, because it's not even snowing yet. It's windy, but yeah, we're under a severe blizzard warning up here. So, and you know, you were saying 6 months of winter? I'll trade you. Would you like 9.5?
Oh, dear. Really? But you're way up
here in the Yellowstone country, it's tough winters.
It's beautiful, though, isn't
it? But it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
And I think you're in a really remote place because you post photos of all the wilderness creatures that come and visit you.
Absolutely. That'll be part of my book, trying to get that pulled together as well. I never know who I'm going to meet when I step on the back deck to have my coffee. It might be a moose, a bear, a mountain lion. I've got pictures of all of them joining me at one time or another. And when I tease some of my people that I have to be talking to, you know, for the work I'm doing, I'll tease them, but I guess not really. If I'm getting poor satellite signal or poor phone reception or whatever, I'll blame it on, oh, I guess the bull moose is standing in front of the satellite dish. Well, it's really not much of a fib. It's pretty accurate.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful place, but, it's remote, and it does cause you to be a little bit creative. Luckily, today, we've got satellite signal so that I could see your message on Facebook that said, I can't reach you. You call me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank heavens for Facebook.
Thank heavens sometimes,
yeah.
Right? And thank goodness there are some of those wild creatures still with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I'm hoping my phone card's going to work for the second half of the show, but I'm not going to worry about that right now. Let's talk about thunderbirdpr.wordpress.com. This is kind of a new venture. I sort of have known you. You're kind of my go-to person for all things native. If I want to know what's happening anywhere, I mean, you wrote about what's happening at Attawapiskat, I think years before anybody else was alerted to it. You seem to be the real sort of central committee for stuff that's going on in various native communities.
Oh, bless your heart. That's a terrific compliment. But in reality, it takes a beautiful team of people. There's just so much going on in all the different reserves and reservations and worldwide. You know, I've been involved with covering Chevron Texaco's disaster down in the Ecuador and Peru and that region's. It's a worldwide thing. I do the best that I can always, but it takes terrific teamwork, and thank you, because you know you've given voice to a lot of those issues by bringing Jen in from to speak to Attawapiskat's difficulties. And yes, we were covering that, you know, long before it started spreading all over the internet. We were trying to get people to just listen, you know, a few years ago. So that's a terrific joy. I can't tell you how excited I was when I started to see that name, that place, getting the attention, and it was just spreading virally everywhere. Initially, we could barely get the word out. I started working with Jacqueline House a long time ago at Six Nations with their battle. You've brought in another beautiful, you know, sister, Willie Nolan, and, you know, covered her amazing work with Point Lepreau and the anti-nuclear activism. She's also working, you know, at leading the youth into their rightful place as the next generation of leaders with some of the Occupy movements in Moncton. You know, you've given us a voice. I have to be grateful that I've had an outlet where people will come to me and share. And then, you know, as is the way with our people, I don't speak for them. I mean, they're all perfectly capable to speak their own part. But I've been so blessed and honored that they would trust me enough to speak out, to write the articles, to do the radio interviews, to get them on the radio, to do whatever I can, wherever I can. Now, the changeover to Thunderbird Public Relations, I have to say that's leading in to a life path goal. When I was covering White House level press for Native American Times and various freelance outlets across Canada and USA, that level of press and involved in the political things every day, each story and each person you're dealing with is a negative. And my life is about positive. I want to make positive change happen anywhere that I can touch, anywhere Creator will bring me. I'm hoping to, you know, open up that channel of light and of hope and community. So every day that I was having to work in the mainstream press industry was just surrounding me with, you know, very difficult people at times, difficult situations, negative press. Not a good place for a person like me, I suppose, to be. I did my best. I always try to do my best, but I really felt that it was time for a change. And it's amazing because Creator has brought together some of the most amazing projects, which we've got to talk about. Thunderbird Public Relations is my public relations firm. And just starting out to have the people involved and the direction that their own lives and their own work is going, It's a blessing. Every day I get up, I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with hope. I reach out in good ways to try and encourage people and hopefully inspire them to look at global peace as a verb, as my dear friend Steve Robertson says at Project Peace on Earth. It's a verb, not just a noun. We got to take action. We have to be involved.
Yeah.
So the switch over to the public relations has been a joy. I still, you know, I'm still involved. I try and keep the pulse of whoever's sharing things with me, you know. But as a mainstay focus, I've moved entirely to the positive. We're at a time frame in the world where it's time. We've got beautiful young people out there on the front lines now, environmentally, holding the line, watching some of the videos you've posted of the beautiful traditionals that have gone to the meetings there and sung at the meetings that you're holding. You know, hearing about the XL pipeline, well, we can rejoice, yes, but the work's not done. We've still got Canadian tar sands. We've got the Enbridge. It continues worldwide. So the work is there to be done. I feel as though I've been brought over to another path, perhaps, that's focused on maybe being the grandma. Maybe it's grandma time, as some of my elders would tell me. Yeah, you're just stepping into your baby grandma booties. You're not quite there yet. We focus on, you know, bringing the people together and doing the good work and doing the prayers and focusing on the positive. So that's really the reason that I stepped away and focused on doing the PR.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine you doing this sort of if it bleeds, it leads kind of stories. that's no fun. And not all, and beyond that, and you know, when the mainstream or whatever, you know, the alternative media that we try to present is fact based, but it's not a pretty picture what's going on in our world. But like you say, I mean, I think this I think it's a poorly named revolution, but the Occupy movement, you know, the People's Assembly. I think that that's really it providing great inspiration and great hope.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Well, and, you know, the other reason that I have been an entirely independent writer, blessed to have outlets like yours and Lynn's over at Edmonton, so, you know, but primarily right. through Native American Times with Lisa Snell. That's, you know, Lisa, I have to give kudos to. By the way, you'll be seeing some posts coming up here online. We've got the newest Joanne Shenandoah article going to be hitting press, thanks to Lisa Snell at Native American Times. We've got a beautiful article coming out. But Lisa, you know, is one of the women that I just depend on, as well as you and other outlets that are independent of the big corporate media. Lisa owns and operates Native American Times, and she's just started up a new magazine. It's the largest independently owned Native newspaper in the country. And when she gives me free rein to speak the truth about something, that's exactly what it means. We aren't worried about corporate advertisers and, you know, private investors in a newspaper where the editors are telling their writers, oh, no, you don't dare, you know, report on that because that'll upset our investors. Our mainstream media is hogtied, and because they need, well, they're good at what they do. There are some that are really on the front lines out there doing beautiful work. But I've been blessed. You know, I've stayed entirely independent, and the outlets have been there, and thanks to you as well. You know, it's get the word out and speak the truth. Give voice for the people when they need it. So yeah, I've been really blessed in that regard.
And so your two sort of main projects right now are very hopeful and optimistic.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, I have three. Oh. I have three. Now, I wasn't online with you to hear if you had played Joanne Shenandoah. Joanne Shenandoah's CD.
Not yet.
Life Givers. That's one of the projects that she and I are working on. It's a tribute to the life cycles of women, which is another reason that I just really wanted to mention some of my special women today, which includes you, Janine. Joanne, we've got the article coming out. She's also involved with the second client of mine, Project Peace on Earth, and just recently did an amazing concert with them. And you'll read more about this in this beautiful article that's coming out today from Native American Times. Steve Robertson and Joanne, working cooperatively with just the most amazing list of talent, performed in this Christmas event over in Bethlehem. And it was live at Manger Square, directly in front of the Church of the Nativity and across from a mosque. And then on Christmas Day, they performed in the full Project Peace on Earth concert in Bethlehem's Convention Palace, which is next to the famed Solomon Pools. Thousands of people gathered. Tens of millions will be watching this, you know, from every nation and every faith being broadcast. You know, it's a full broadcast coverage. So the two of them have brought me into their, you know, combined projects. But with Joanne, you know, I wasn't aware until I've gotten to know this amazing lady that, you know, she's a Grammy winner. She's garnered over 40 music awards, including 13 Native American Music Awards, which is the most ever by any artist. She's performed all over the world. You know, all of those things we can mention. But as a human being, I am so blessed. She's so down to earth, so real, cares about the future for our children. Just a beautiful, beautiful lady. And this newest CD called Life Givers, this is her first one that she's taking independent control of. So the article, you know, will give you some good background on that. Joanne is involved in the Hiawatha Institute, you know, a lot of different nonprofits, women empowerment, you name it. So we've just got a lot of great projects that are you know, perfect for Thunderbird PR and for me to work along with Joanne. And I'm honored. I'm greatly honored that she would allow me to do that. Now, because of Joanne, she's introduced me to Steve Robertson. And Project Peace on Earth is so enormous. Some of you, I'm assuming, you know, listeners have already checked out on Facebook. They've seen it on your page, Janine, and thank you for reposting that on my page. There's so much to mention about this project in beautiful, glowing terms that I would just refer, you know, listeners, please go to www.projectpeaceonearth.org. There is just amazing information there. But Steve Robertson, it's a 25-year dream of his. And I am now personally referring to him as one of the most inspiring personal business associates and friends I've ever had the honor of knowing. I think I've titled him, without his knowing this yet, that he's the king of networking, because he's assembled some of the greatest minds and talents worldwide to be on this Project Peace on Earth team. And I have to put a shout-out, since we're broadcasting out of Canada, I have to give a shout-out to your Canadian success story, Kent Speakman, managing partner of Engagia, and he's out over at Calgary. We were having a conference call yesterday about some of the advice he will be giving us for this project and the social networking and this kind of thing. And when you realize that the company was one of the top 10 hottest digital marketers of 2011, and his company, Engagia, was a finalist for the Best Social Media Agency of 2011 Media Awards, we got some beautiful talent. You know, I think backing up to it, a lot of it's on the website, which I'd refer people to really dive into. It's a beautiful, beautiful project. They started out with this double-decker bus, which the project's called Peace Has Begun, and they're going out into children where they want to, you know, out into communities where they want to address social issues, where they're impacting children, teens, adults, families, schools, communities. They're trying to find those hidden heroes, empower them. This really hip double-decker bus is literally the promotional vehicle that follows up the Project Peace on Earth concert, and it's in essence a moving worldwide, you know, hub for good and change, and across the United States and Canada. So now we'll be broadcasting more about that. Prior to the concerts, and along with what Project Peace on Earth is doing, are the medical missions. In September 2010, they took the famed eye surgeon, Dr. Paul Daugherty, and his surgical team to Palestine. And as part of the humanitarian outreach programs, they restored the site, surgical restoration. They gave free cataract surgeries to 40, mostly elderly and indigent refugees in Palestine, and restored their vision. And Michael Garcia, the former VP of Development for HBO, he's one of the steering committee members for Project Peace on Earth. He attended this Palestine trip, and he's got a soon-to-be-released documentary called Visions of Peace. Then it moves on over to this amazing list of music ambassadors that are involved in it. I can't even, you know, truly, it sounds like I'm at the Oscars when I there's or the Grammys. Enigma, Jonathan Elias, Joanne and her daughter Leah actually cooperatively worked with Jonathan Elias on the prayer circle, or the, excuse me, the prayer cycle, and some amazing artists on that. David Arkenstone, a three-time Grammy nominee with over 40 albums. Mark Isham, you know, that kind of thing. On their steering committee for Project Peace on Earth, James Cameron, you know, film producer for Titanic and Avatar. Charlie Hernandez, Barry Dane, Mike Mitchell, Hal Uplinger, Tim Kring, Michael Garcia, Ralph Simon, Simon Mainwaring, George Weathersby. I mean, I'm not quite sure how this old bird landed into this nest, but I can tell you it's an honor. I've met people just in the short time we've been working together that are so committed to global peace and to visioning a world where there is a paradigm shift. There's a mindset change. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful, Janine. It's one of the most exciting things I've ever been involved with.
That's awesome. That's really
great. Yeah. I mean, I'm just so... so honored.
Yeah, no
truly.
Kidding. You are. You are indeed. And it's wonderful to have something good to wake up to and look forward to every day, for sure.
It is.
But you know what? And we've got like 4 or 5 minutes left is the unfortunate
thing. Let me quickly, have to put a plug in to my other third project, Extreme History Project.
Okay.
Co-founders are Marsha Fulton and Crystal Iogria, and they're both here locally in Montana. They are my support network. They were my first clients. They've got a nonprofit called Extreme History Project. Currently, they're involved with restoration and the organization of Fort Parker Project, which is that's the first Crow agency that was established here in Montana in 1868 with the Laramie Treaty. They've got documentary film, oral history projects, researching books, beautiful things happening in documenting the history of Fort Parker and working along with the Crow tribe to bring healing and peace. And Janine, I know you will appreciate this. I know you'll love this, being sort of the little revolutionary that you are. When I read part of their mission statement, you're going to love this. The Extreme History Project is dedicated to eradicating political and social agendas from traditional historical narratives and pursuing a more balanced and honest expression of the past. Now, this is the part I know you'll love. Actively engaging in political, social, revolutionary paradigm shifts and committing random acts of history.
Right on.
That's yeah, great. I love it. It's you know, taking the history books that were written by other people, you know, especially when we talk about Native history.
Mm.
You know, when we're teaching that in the schools, it's really a biased history.
Not according to Tucson, Arizona. I don't hear that.
Yeah, yes. We can refer to the book banning down in Tucson, Arizona.
Right. Get these books out quick before they're all banned. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful combination of people for Thunderbird to be involved with. It is a shift for me. I mean, you've worked with me for a long time in the mainstream press, and I'll still be, you know, I am true to heart, the radical, which Steve Robertson has recently taught me that, you know, radical means, you know, to the core. It's to the center. Mm-hmm. It's at the core of something. And so I guess we are radical. We have some core beliefs that, you know, we really hold true to, and I'm amazed at the amount of movement forward in positive ways that we've accomplished just in this last year. I'm speechless, truly, because this year is so powerful.
That's awesome.
You know, so yeah, beautiful projects, but I'll still be out there, you know, you bet.
Yeah, we'll
you bet.
Find you.
I'm not leaving entirely.
We can find Shelley Blue Jay Pierce on Facebook or thunderbirdpr.wordpress.com. Now, sadly, we do have to go, but I would like you to introduce Joanne Shenandoah quickly for us. I'll play some music from her.
Oh, I would be most honored. The CD Life Givers is the CD that she's promoting now, and I'm not sure which of the songs you're playing. This is, as I said, it's her first independently produced album. And if you go to her website, just do a Google search for Joanne's website, it will direct you right over to CD Baby, where you can download it, and it's available, you know, in various outlets. But it's a tribute to the life cycles of the women, you know, from the first beating heart to when her spirit leaves to walk across the stars along the Milky Way as she returns home to the sky world where she will be welcomed by her loved ones. That's reading from the inside of the CD cover. Beautiful, beautiful tribute. And, you know, though she speaks, she sings in the Oneida language, music is the universal, music of the spheres. It is. And Joanne's voice, regardless of what words you're hearing, it'll lift your heart. And I really encourage you to not only get this new CD, but I've got the full collection, so I'd encourage everybody else to do that as well.
All right. Well, Shelley, it's been great chatting with you again. We'll have to do
it. Oh, thank you, Janine. And I hope you are able to get in touch with your other partner in crime that's coming up later. If not, Facebook me, and I'll see if I can do some internet magic over on this side.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Shelley Blue Jay Pierce.
Oh, thank you, Janine. Best wishes to everybody up in the Canadian area, and thanks for your support.
You bet. You take care. We'll chat soon.
Okay. Thank you, Janine.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Shelley Blue Jay Pierce from Montana, and this next CD or music I'm going to play is called She Was Born from Joanne Shenandoah. And then I'm going to cross my fingers and hope I can get a hold of my next guest. So you're listening to CFUV 101.9 FM from Victoria. I'm not even sure I did the show intro at the very beginning. There was a bit of technical difficulty. This is The Winds of Change. My name's Janine Bancroft. We're on unceded Coast Salish Lekwungen territory. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like good music first thing in the morning? Monday morning at 6 a.m. Listen to Tidal Zone for music old and new, from rhythm and blues to pop, from Zydeco to rockabilly, from crooners to howlers. That's Mondays from 6 to 8 a.m. on Tidal Zone.
Jerry Lee. All right, we're back. You're listening to The Winds of Change here at CFUV Radio 101.9 FM in Victoria. On the line, I have Charles Wilkinson. How are you today, Charles?
I'm doing wonderfully, Jane. How are you?
Well, I'm having all kinds of technical challenges, but, you know, never a dull moment in live radio. Did you guys get a big dump of snow over there?
No, we got a couple of inches, really. It's hardly anything.
Really? Oh, okay. And you're still traveling over here for your show, you're showing tonight of Peace Out at Cinecentra, are you?
Yes, we're actually just on our way right now. We're just heading for the ferry.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, hopefully the ferries are all running on schedule and everything. It's always interesting living on an island when weather happens, you know?
It looks okay so far.
Good, good. So tell us about this film. This is the first time that it's being shown in Victoria, I think, isn't it?
That's correct. It's a Vancouver Island premiere. This is the film that the feature documentary that we made about the energy extraction situation up in the Peace River. We premiered at the Vancouver International Film Festival this past year, and we did super, super well. People seem to be really engaged by the subject, and surprisingly, people down south, you know, really felt a clear connection with all of this work that's sort of being done in our name up there.
Yes, yes, and it does have a good look at the tar sands as well, and what's involved with that. And have you been following the Enbridge public hearing circuit at all?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Enbridge gateway issue is directly connected to the subject of our film because, of course, the four energies that our film deals with, the Site C proposal, the hydrogas fracking in the Peace region, the proposed nuclear reactor in Peace River, and, of course, the tar sands in Fort McMurray, they're all intimately connected with the Enbridge pipeline proposal. So the discussion of that proposal is really, in a way, the discussion that takes place in our film, Peace Out.
Yeah, and the film is really important because it gives a bit of a history and a bit of insight into some of the attitudes, I think, around, you know, the various players. I was reading something about you've been selected at the Global Visions Film Festival.
That's right, yeah, we just found that out this week. That's the oldest documentary festival in Canada, where it's a super big honor. And we've been selected at a whole bunch of small festivals all around BC and Alberta. We're going to play at the Haida Gwaii Festival in the beginning of March, I think it is, and also at the Available Light Festival up in Whitehorse, which apparently is a really, really interesting, amazing event. They're going to take me mushing on a dog sled. I'm really excited.
Ooh, wow. All right, well, and you're here tonight, and you're bringing a guest with you, I think, aren't you?
Yes, Ben Parfitt from the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. He's the most knowledgeable person on the natural gas hydrofracking issue of anyone that I've ever spoken to. He's going to be there answering questions about that issue that's becoming of more and more interest to all of us because of some of the concerns that have been raised associated with groundwater and so forth.
Right. Okay. So it's an 80-minute film, and it's 7 o'clock tonight, and then you guys are going to hang around afterwards. Is that right? And answer questions, that kind of thing?
That's right. Yeah, we'll have a Q&A, and we've been noticing in all the screenings that we've had that unlike the dramatic films that I've worked on in the past, where usually if you get a couple of dozen people to stick around after the show and ask, you know, about the actress's makeup or something, on this, so many people stay, and so many people have an opinion, and so many people have concerns about this. And I've personally found the Q&A afterwards to be more interesting than the movie.
No.
So I'm hoping that happens again here in Victoria.
That's great.
It's something that more and more of us care about.
Oh, and there's lots of good activists here in Victoria. You are competing with another, I think there's some other couple of different events in town tonight. But, you know, I know of a few people who are heading up here to the university. The buses are running, and these guys guys are coming all the way from Vancouver, so we'll hope for a good showing. And I wish I could be there. It's my yoga night, though, Charles, and I don't miss my yoga because otherwise I start to turn into a vampire, and that's no fun. So yoga keeps me calm and centered, you know? Hey?
I understand.
Yeah, we got to look after ourselves or we can't do anything else. But I have seen the film and I'm highly recommending it. And thank you so much for all that you're doing, Charles.
Well, thank you, Janine. I really appreciate the note. Thank you.
All right. You take care and we'll talk again, okay?
Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. Okay, so Charles and his friend, whose name escapes me, are traveling from Vancouver for the film Peace Out tonight at the Cine Santa here at UVic. So be sure and go to that if you got nothing else to do and you're interested in knowing what's going on with energy production in the north and their plans and what we can do to try to alleviate the stress on our beautiful environment. Okay, now, third time. Lucky. I don't know what's going on with the phones today. It must be because of the snow. We're just not used to snow on our little island here. I'm going to now attempt to get a hold of Richard Boyce. And Richard is a filmmaker who's been an environmentalist defender as well for many, many years. He's going to be speaking to us from near Parksville with any luck. I'm going to play another song from Joanne Shenandoah, the one that Shelley Blue Jay Pierce recommended. And then this one is called She Becomes a Woman. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned here at CFUV. Okay, that's music from Joanne Shenandoah, and with any luck, we have Richard Boyce on the line. Richard, are you also snowed in up there in Parksville?
Yeah, we have a beautiful winter landscape.
Do you like it? The snow?
It's very beautiful, yeah.
Some people, it's really interesting that snow, it brings out all kinds of stuff from people. Some people love it, and some people hate it, and... But I think it's really beautiful, and I worry about the homeless people this time, though, you know, when this is happening, and I worry about some of the forest creatures that aren't necessarily used to it. You're also in a really remote setting, aren't you? My first guest is way up in the mountains in Montana. You're also kind of out in the bush there, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I'm in the woods, but I'm not too far from Parksville. So, but there are little winter wrens and little birds living in the eaves of my my house, and they're definitely taking shelter from the storms and the winter wonderland.
Mm-hmm. You know, I spent a little time up in that area last summer. I had an opportunity to travel around and have a look at some of the beautiful places, and it really concerns me that the logging is really getting kind of scary around those parts, Richard.
Yeah, well, you know, most people don't realize it because they're very good at hiding it. And along the highways, there's buffers left. And along the parks, there's little areas that the general public gets to go to and look at the forest and think that they're in this incredible, vast park like Cathedral Grove. But it's one of the smallest parks there could be. It's tiny. And so people don't really have an idea of what's actually going on in terms of logging. There's full-scale logging going on all over the island right now.
Mm-hmm. And so now this film that you've made, it looks beautiful. I've looked at the trailer a couple of times, rainforestmovie.ca, and you've recently won Best Mountain Culture Film Award at the Whistler Film Fest, and you're touring with this film. And this is in the Clashkish Valley. Am I saying that right? Is that where it's sort of centered?
Yeah, it's the film is basically my journey to the Clashkish, which is just north of the Brooks Peninsula. A lot of people know it as East Creek, which is one of the tributaries that goes into the inlet. And it's one of the last pristine rainforests on Vancouver Island. There are 91 watersheds on Vancouver Island, and of those, 86 have already been logged. So this is one of the five that's that is left, and so I chose to take a journey there and go and look at what it really looks like and photograph it as a cinematographer.
Mm-hmm. And
of course, along the way, there's a lot of logging, and unfortunately, from my home to Port Alice and outside of Port Alice, there is basically tree farm after tree farm after tree farm, or clear cut after clear cut after clear cut. And as you get closer to the ancient rainforest, the trees become smaller and smaller and smaller until you get to active logging. And then you can finally head off into the pristine wilderness.
Yikes, that's a bit scary. And this is home of many Indigenous people, and somehow now you connected up with Chief Kwaksistala?
Kwaksistala is his name.
Right.
He is Chief Adam Dick, and he is a clan chief of the Kwakwaka'wakw people. And he basically gave me, at the beginning, some insight into what these culturally modified trees I was finding in the wilderness were. So these are trees that hundreds of years ago First Nations people altered them in some sort of harvesting practice. So that could be anything from taking pitch from them, taking bark from them, taking even planks right out of the living tree. And hundreds of years later, those trees are still flourishing and are still very much alive. And so that began a relationship with Kwaksistala throughout the film, where he gives me some ideas of how First Nations respected the forest and how different and contrasting that is with modern logging.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't realize what those were, I think, until the tree sit at Cathedral Grove, and Ingmar had people giving tours of all of the culturally modified trees. And, you know, I had seen those trees and wondered what that was. And it looks like there's sort of a strip taken out of the middle of it, and then the bark kind of grows around it, right? And it occurs to me, I mean, and they were saying, too, you know, that I guess, you know, when they go in and they clear cut an entire area, they're erasing all of that history, aren't they? It's really a form of cultural genocide.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're hearing this, but there is a huge air crane helicopter flying over my home right now, and they are primarily used for logging. And those helicopters access...
Yeah, I can hear it.
Hear that?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's... a really big helicopter, and they can lift trees right out of the forest. And they're used to systematically eradicate the last of the trees that were left by loggers 80 to 100 years ago. It is kind of a genocide. The little tiny reserves around areas where ancient village sites are, one of those is a place I go to in Clashkish. And Ingmar Lee and I went there for the first time quite a few years ago when the Clashkeesh Valley was pristine and there was no logging road into it. And the only way we could go there was by kayak. And we had permission from the local First Nations to enter one of these ancient sites. And what's remarkable is that there is midden there and there are flattened areas where longhouses used to be. And there's some of these culturally modified trees in the background. But basically, it doesn't look like thousands of people have been living there for thousands of years. It looks pristine. And that's so remarkable because over in the next valley, it's completely decimated and was logged in the last 20 years and is completely destroyed. And there is no resemblance with that and an ancient forest.
No, and we don't even process those logs anymore. They're all shipped overseas, right? Whereas the indigenous people, they were able to live harmoniously. And so how many people do you figure lived in that valley, Clashkeesh?
Well, it's quite hard to identify exactly how many people. They're probably in that region anyway, in the northwest corner of Vancouver Island. There were probably in the area of 10,000 people living there pre-contact. And within the first 50 years of contact, most of them died of smallpox and later measles, and eventually were removed by the government into reserves and the residential schools. And so there's nobody living there now, and there hasn't been for at least 100-something years. But the logging roads are moving in, and they are going to eradicate it. And what's ironic is that the general public theoretically owns this land. It's a tree farm license administered by the BC Minister of Forests. And I've been trying to find out who exactly, which logging company will be doing the logging. And nobody really knows, or they claim not to know. The ministry office in Port Hardy and Port McNeil and in Victoria, and also the Forest Practices Board, which is supposed to monitor these types of things, can't tell me exactly who it is who's going to be logging. They give me a list of 7 logging companies, one of which might be the one that's actually putting the road in, and I'm supposed to be the one who contacts them and asks them if they're actually doing this and what their plans are, and that's outrageous. That's a part of this new government's idea that it's a result-based code rather than some kind of forestry practices code, which was in the past.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't realized that until I saw it on your website, Richard, that in 2004, was it, when there was this major shift in government policy? Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, when the Liberal government came into power in BC, they basically threw out the Forest Practices Code and changed its name to the Results-Based Code. And what they did is they took the onus from everything being monitored on taxpayers' land by the Ministry of Forest to make sure that the logging companies were doing things according to those forest practices. Instead, what's happened is the government now leaves the onus on to the logging company to report on themselves if they do anything that shouldn't be happening in the forests. And so basically the logging companies are supposed to fine themselves for doing anything bad in the forest, even though it's taxpayers' land, it's Crown land.
It's stolen land.
And therefore the ministry was able to lay off half of the workforce for the ministry, so they were able to, all of the inspectors and the people who did all that kind of work don't have a job.
Right. And so who's out in the forest? Nobody, except for folks like you and climbing into the canopy. It's just fascinating looking at your website, rainforestmovie.ca, and how you filmed it. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But, I just would like to also note that this is stolen land. I mean, it's theoretically public land, but, you know, there were never any treaties signed on our island, as I understand it, right?
No. Most of the treaties that people know about are actually from the east. And here on the west coast, there were only the Douglas Treaty was signed, and basically that is very limiting. And most of the First Nations still have unceded territory, which has not been negotiated. And so right now what's happening is a lot of backdoor deals with the government, and deals that are implemented by the government and don't really, well, unfortunately, they're taking advantage of the First Nations, who are quite often very small groups. The area that I go to, the East Creek area, is part of the Kwatsino First Nations territory, and they are still negotiating with the government as to what to do with it. But at the same time, the government is logging heavily in that area and allowing logging companies to destroy it.
So this is a really...
In terms of climbing, though,
yeah.
I mean, the reason that I climbed into the forest for the first time was at Cathedral Grove, where we put up tree sits to prevent the BC government from building a parking lot in this little tiny park, and which would have destroyed the park, basically, because the winds would have blown down the rest of the tall trees in that area. So we were able to successfully stop the government by having tree platforms in the trees for 2 years. And during that time, I became very good friends with Ingmar Lee, who took me to East Creek for the first time. And I fell in love with it immediately and thought, this has got to be documented. I need to make a film about this incredible place. It's still diverse. It's still pristine. It still has giant trees. It has the remnants of an ancient civilization. And I really want to come back here and make a film. And so I worked very hard to do that and to learn how to climb in the trees with my camera. And I'm able to bring in the film quite a few scenes where I go up into the trees up to 200 feet high. And up there, I've discovered these aerial gardens, which are beautiful gardens that are lush with small huckleberry trees and salal, and there's hemlock trees and even sometimes Sitka spruce and cedar trees growing up hundreds of feet in the air. And they're built on soil deposits that have grown there over hundreds of years. And at one point I meet a biologist from UVic at that time. Her name is Dr. Zoe Lindo. And she was researching insects that live in these gardens. And she had been able to find 138 species of insect that had never before been discovered. And not only that, but they were only found to be up in the canopy of the rainforests. So we really know very little about the rainforest that we're cutting down. And I try to explore this and show you, give the audience a chance to enter into a wilderness that they may not be able to enter themselves.
Thank you so much for doing that. Now, you're showing, I think, shortly, you're going to be in Courtney Comox area, and then the film is coming to Victoria. Are there other screenings that you have lined up?
Yeah, the Courtney Festival, which is the World Community Festival, is on Saturday the 4th. And then I'm coming to Victoria, and I'll be there with Quoxy Stella at the screening of the Victoria Film Festival, which is on February 8th at 9:45. And I'm also showing it at Open Cinema 2 weeks later on the 22nd, which is at the Victoria Event Center. And the screening starts at 7, but the doors are open at 5:30 for dinner and a casual conversation. And afterwards, we'll have a Q&A.
Great. And so you'll be at all of those. And tell me...
Yes, I'll be attending them all.
Okay. And and tell me about the Whistler Film Fest, where you won this award. That's a great honor, hey?
Yeah, it was. It's really nice to be honored by my peers and by such a receptive audience. I've shown it in Vancouver, in Montreal, at Whistler, in my hometown, and the reception is just immense. It's wonderful to people get it, and they're there for the quiet moments, and they're there for the joyous moments. And the jury at the Whistler Festival, a quote from them is that we re-exposed our most critical environmental issue while at the same time pushing the cinematic experience and limits of storytelling, cinematography, and editing. So to have three of my peers say something like that is really rewarding. I've worked on this film for a long time, and I'm really glad it's finally made it to audiences.
No kidding. And I know that you've been a friend to the forest for many, many decades now, Richard. So it's really great that you have something that you can carry around with you and say, this is why we care so much. That's awesome. And so,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and I hope everybody has a chance to come out and see it or check out the trailer at least on the website, which is rainforestmovie.ca.
Right on. Okay, well, I'm going to hope to see you when you come to Victoria then, and you stay warm in the meantime.
Oh, thank you. I will.
All right. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks, Richard. Take care.
Okay. Bye, Jeanine.
Bye-bye. So that's Richard Boyce from somewhere near Parksville, and his film rainforestmovie.ca. I know he also has work of his wonderful photography and other short films at islandboundmedia.ca. So he's definitely a guy. If people want to support filmmakers, he would be another person. So what a great hour it turned out to be. I want to thank my guests, Shelley Blue Jay Pierce in Montana, and Charles Wilkinson, who is traveling to Victoria to be at this screening of his film Peace Out tonight at the Cinecenta here at UVic, and then, of course, Richard Boyce. And I'm going to leave us with a song from Matthew Swalinkovich, also known as Makona, I think is how you pronounce it. It's called We Are the Many. He's a Hawaiian fellow, and he chose the name Makona because it means the gift in Hawaiian, and this is another very inspiring song. There's a great feeling of hope. I think Shelley Blue Jay is right. There's something happening in our world, and people are awakening, and it's great. So stay warm. It's definitely here for another a day or two, and the forecast suggests that it might actually warm up and start raining, but it's going to be slushy because nobody freaking cleaned their sidewalks. Thanks to the people who did, by the way, clean the sidewalks. And I think that's all. Take care of each other, and please think fondly of the homeless people, and especially at this time. This is The Winds of Change. The next show on CFUV here at 101.9 FM is Democracy Now!, and then there's all kinds of great programming after that. All right, thanks for listening.
Ye come here, gather round the stage. The time has come for us to voice our rage against the ones who've trapped us in a cage to steal from us the value of our wage from underneath the vestiture of law. The lobbyists at Washington do gnaw at liberty, the bureaucrats guffaw. And until they are purged, we won't withdraw. We'll occupy the streets, we'll occupy the courts, we'll occupy the offices of you till you do the bidding of the many, not the few. Our nation was built upon the right of every person to improve their plight. But laws of this republic they rewrite, and now a few own everything in sight. They own it free of liability. They own, but they are not like you and me. Their influence dictates legality. And until they are stopped, we are not free. We'll occupy the streets, we'll occupy the courts, we'll occupy the offices of you till you do the bidding of the many, not the few. Enforce your monopolies with guns while sacrificing our daughters and sons. But certain things belong to everyone. Your thievery has left the people none. So take heed of our notice to redress. We had little to lose, we must confess. Your empty words do leave us unimpressed. A growing number join us in protest. We occupy the streets, we occupy the courts, we occupy the offices of you till you do the bidding of the many, not the few. You can't divide us into sides, and from our gaze you cannot hide. Denial serves to amplify, and our allegiance you can't buy. Our government is not for sale. The banks do not deserve a bail. We will not reward those who fail. We'll not move till we prevail. We'll occupy the streets, we'll occupy the courts, we'll occupy the offices of you till you do the bidding of the many, not the few. We'll occupy the streets, we'll occupy the courts, we'll occupy the offices of you till you do the bidding of the many, not the few. We are the many, you are the few.